Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It's a Tuesday. No practice today. The Packers were off as far as our participation on a practice field. Who knows what's going on inside 1265 Lombardi, but no practice today, no updates, no injury reports until tomorrow. And the headline, undoubtedly, all eyes will be on the status of one Elgton Jenkins, the new full-time starting center for the Green Bay Packers, who did not participate on Monday. And certainly lots been talked about over the offseason regarding Jenkins, his contract status, the back issue that he landed him on NFI to start training camp, and then he came off, and then he practiced for a while, and then he missed practice here or there with a back issue, and get to Monday and he's not out there. And there's a game Sunday. I don't know if you heard, but the Packers open against the Lions, and you would really hope that they would be at full strength up front. But there's a possibility that if Jenkins is unable to go, that we could see Jordan Morgan there slide into right guard and probably Sean Ryan slide down to center with Aaron Banks at left guard, Rashid Walker at left tackle, and Zach Tom at right tackle. And hopefully that all holds together, because one injury after that and it gets fun. And I don't mean that in the traditional way when you talk about the word fun. But right now it is all guesswork. Here's hoping Monday was just a veteran rest day for Elgton, and he's out there tomorrow on the practice field as the Packers prepare to take on the Detroit Lions. And it has come to my attention, something I knew earlier this offseason and was just reminded of today when I got the dope sheet, that this game is being broadcast on CBS. And I don't mean to malign anybody with the CBS sports crew, what have you, but man, there was a very long period of time where that was against the laws of man and nature to have an NFC divisional showdown, no less, broadcast on CBS as opposed to Fox. Now, if you're an old head like myself, you do remember when the NFC was on CBS permanently back in the day when we were growing up. And at the beginning of every NFL Sunday, you would hear Brent Musburger say, "You are looking live at Lambeau Field." And let me tell you, that brings back some phenomenal memories, some great calls from Summerall and Madden back in the day on CBS. You know, Jim Nance, Tony Romo, they're fine. They're fine. But I highly encourage you to join us here on Cheesehead TV for the first watch party of the season coming up this Sunday. That's right. I'll be in Green Bay with Corey live from Corey's home across the street from Lambeau Field. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are almost there. It is almost time for the first We Have Fireworks of the season. I can't wait. I cannot wait. It's going to be a good time. I hope you'll all join us. All of you already joining in the comment section. Good to see everyone mixing it up. What's going on, people? Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. ThetaCare is on a mission to improve the health and well-being of the communities they serve, empowering individuals to live their unique best lives. As one of the leading nonprofit providers in Wisconsin, ThetaCare is dedicated to compassionate, effective care for everyone. Their team of skilled experts is committed to supporting the local community through innovative care techniques and a patient-first approach. They are proud to be your partner on your health journey. Be sure to check out thetacare.org for more information. Or indeed, there is a link in the description of this video for you to do so. What's going on, everybody? We got Evil Badger starting us off with a super chat. How you doing, buddy? Is the game versus Carolina the 1923 throwback game? Yes, it most certainly is, because nothing says 1923 like the Carolina Panthers. Big swing and a miss for me on that one. Should have been the Bears or the Lions. Should have been one of the ancient foes that the Packers actually may have gone up against back in 1923, though I think at that time the Bears may have been the Staleys, but you know what I mean. 1923 game against the Panthers. What are we doing over here? But yes, that is the game that they will be wearing the throwbacks this season. NA Productions, how you doing, man? Thanks for the super chat. NFC North Copium with Parsons back has been, it has been, no doubt about it. I saw your video, dude. It was outstanding. Great work. Feel free to throw a link here in the chat if anybody hasn't checked out his Parsons hype video. Highly recommended you do so. It'll give you chills. Some really good stuff there, brother. Jake's 6292. How you doing, man? Thanks for the super chat. Gutten policy just showed their dicks to the whole sports world with the Parsons trade. I mean, someone referenced it, I believe, on the live chat that I was doing just as the news dropped, that it was akin to what I said when he traded up for Jordan Love in the draft. I mean, that's Goody throwing his nuts on the table, essentially. It's the kind of move that, yeah, it's a go-for-it type move that says, you know, I'm in it to win it, and we're going to go win a championship. And if that happens, everyone's happy. Goody gets his name up on the board, probably, and everyone goes away a winner. But if it doesn't work out, it's the kind of move that could possibly get you fired. And there is, you know, that's not telling tales out of the school, and that's not saying anything Gutekunst isn't aware of, but it certainly is a big, ballsy move from the Packers general manager. But as we've talked about a couple of times since it happened, it feels in line with where the program has been, is going, is headed to, as far as needing to get back, as he said, to competing for championships. This is certainly a move that hopefully facilitates that, or at least helps to do so. Adam, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Two first rounders for Micah. I'm shocked. In my world, Micah Hyde is worth three first rounders. Go Pack. Wait, what? Man, the compensation is fun. It's been a good time. Been a good, good time watching people you know, twist themselves into knots, trying to find holes to poke in it. Like, I get it. I understand. You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. If Goody doesn't make this type of move, then it's, what were people saying legit, what, 2 months ago into microphones? Oh, the Packers, Gutekunst, don't care about winning. And now he makes this kind of move, which clearly shows he cares about winning. And it's, oh, we gave up too much, or what, is he damaged goods, or, well, he shouldn't have given up Kenny Clark. You know, come on, people. And I understand that's not any one person. It's an amalgamation of different voices, but it does get tiring after a while, where no one can be kind of thrilled or happy in unison as a Packers fandom, just for something this historical and, you know, absolutely a swing for the fences as far as acquiring a premier talent to go win a championship. It's like, you would think that would be the one thing that people could get behind unconditionally. But of course, not the case. Andrew Doyle, thank you for checking out the stream. Absolutely love your show. Thank you for all you do. Can you briefly explain how to donate during the show? I seem to only be able to do it when I listen after the live show. Thanks, Aaron. Rand84. Well, Andrew, you should be able to see down below the bottom of the chat on YouTube, because I see you are on YouTube. There's a money sign. Just click that money sign. You can give any amount. A dollar is great. Every little bit helps and supports the channel and the brand. And then type your question, and lo and behold, it'll appear in the chat. Appreciate you, man. David, what's up, man? Thanks for checking out the stream on Facebook. Hey, Nags, I flipped my Green Bay calendar to September yesterday to be greeted by a picture of Josh Myers. I hope he's doing well. I believe he's still here in New York. I know he signed a one-year deal, but I don't know if he made the 53 or not for the Jets. But maybe. I hope he's doing well. That's the hope. E4, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Stems from having my, they will never lose a playoff at Lambeau bubble burst, but I'm sticking with my 10 games and beat the Bears. Everything after that is icing on the cake. I get it, man. You definitely want to beat the Bears, right? It's still, no matter what kind of season you have, whether it is championship caliber, expectation of a championship, bringing back Lombardi, all of that, that's all well and good. But you got to beat the Bears, right? You want to beat the Bears. The Bears got to be put back in their place, especially with all of these Bears fans crowing about a victory at Lambeau last game of the season when Packers sat most of their starters by halftime. Watson goes down with an injury. You got a backup quarterback in there. And they're crowing about, oh, they finally beat the Packers. Well, well done, boys and girls. Enjoy your game that meant basically nothing. And get back to losing twice a year to the Packers starting in 2025. Time to start a new, 12-game run? I'm down with that idea. Brockman, thanks for the super chat, man. Not doctor, but you are. How serious is a spinal sprain that MP1 has, knowing the Packers medical staff, they wouldn't let him play if it was serious, right? Dog, I talked all about this yesterday. That is a lot of damage control coming from the Cowboys. There is zero doubt that the Packers are all over this. There's no way they trade for him. There's no way that he's out there at practice doing things on an individual drill basis if he has not been cleared by Doc McKenzie at all. No chance. Official Talik, thanks for the super chat, man. What's one question you've had for Micah, MLF, and Goody if you were in the press room on Friday? I would have asked, and I think I mentioned this yesterday, I would have asked about David Mulugeta's involvement and how much he drove this. And I know he appeared on First Take on ESPN earlier this morning and really did kind of take the kind of peek behind the curtain, so to speak, of negotiations with the Cowboys, where things turned sour, etc. I'm not going to rehash everything he said, but it was pretty interesting. But yeah, it was interesting to me that Mulugeta's name, that I can remember, never came up with any of those guys. Well, I don't think you'd ask LaFleur about him, but I'm pretty sure that's a question I would have asked both Goody and Micah Parsons. I think Parsons mentioned his agent as far as thanking him and things like that, but I don't recall him being asked directly how much Mulugeta drove this kind of transaction, right? And I do think, you know, Mulugeta has become a real power broker in the NFL. So, certainly a guy that does everything in his power to get the best possible deals for his clients, which is exactly what you want, man. And as far as, like, you look at the deals he's put together over the course of the last 3-4 years, if I'm a guy, especially a top flight guy coming out of college and deciding on my agent, dog, there's no way I'm making a call other than to David Mulugeta if he'll have me. You know what I mean? Like, that guy is an absolute stud in the agent field. Valzad, thanks for the super chat, man. Jerry firing Jimmy and winning the Super Bowl 2 years later is the reason why Jerry is the way he is, still living in the early 90s and will not budge. Yeah, I said it on the day that the trade went down, man. It really feels like this is the final kind of, I don't know what you would call it, reveal, like the guy behind the curtain in The Wizard of Oz, the professor. You know, it's all come crashing down. This is pretty much it. This is pretty much the end of any kind of idea that Jerry is still kind of got it together. Like, this, that's it. It's over. And I know that, like, that wasn't a very common refrain, but, you know, the idea that Jerry's still sharp and can still do these deals and still knows what he, like, it's, that bubble has completely burst. FMCH, what's up, man? Despite getting Parsons, I'm bummed. I'm bummed because Carry the G isn't available here in Florida. Any music ideas to cheer me up? You know what? I think I do have something that could maybe fit the bill.
Will we carry the G wherever we may be? So creamy and cold, and from the land of the green and gold.
I carry the G Cream Ale, the official beer of Cheesehead TV. And I do love these types of comments. I got a comment here. Where is it? Where is it? Oh, there we go. Jim, you're never one player away until you are. No one says acquiring Parsons means the Packers win the Super Bowl, but they are certainly exponentially better on defense and or as a team in its entirety because of how much better he makes them on defense, that there's little doubt that they are a contender because their defense should be exponentially better with his presence. Now, does that make them Super Bowl champions? No, of course not. One player does not automatically bequeath you a Lombardi, but you no doubt are a better team and have a much better chance of winning a Super Bowl with him on your team. Everyone else still has to do their job. Jordan Love still has to ball out. Offensive line still has to play well. Guys have to catch the fucking ball on offense, certainly something that we had problems with last season. On defense, those corners got to hold up, probably a lot less longer than they used to, but they're still going to have to hold up in coverage. Linebackers are still going to have to flow to the ball, make tackles, blitz appropriately, do everything by the letter of the law when it comes to technique, etc. People still have to work. Still a team game. But they are a light years better football team with Parsons on their defensive side of the football, and they are so much, so much more of a contender with him in this defense than they were without him. I guess I understand that people have to see it to believe it. You're going to start seeing it on Sunday, although it does sound like it'll be somewhat limited because he is just ramping up. But, man, he changes everything on the defensive side of the ball. It's like, speaking of the Wizard of Oz, it's like when Dorothy crashes into Oz and it goes from black and white to color. That's what defense is going to be this year. It's going to be that different. I know no one quite gets it or believes me, but I promise you that is going to happen. The concert. What's up, man? Love from Toronto, Canada. Go Pack Go. Go Pack Go from New York. Hope you're doing well, man. E4, what's up? I do highly applaud the move to get Parsons, no matter how it works out. I mean, that's reasonable. You know, it is a monster move, and it is a move that I think probably was pretty unexpected from most of Packers fandom. I know I didn't expect it. I would say it's maybe a bit against character, but as we've talked about before, he was in on the Khalil Mack trade back in 2018. He's certainly shown that he will uncover every nook and cranny in the search for talent. Certainly has shown that he will try everything he can to acquire premier talent. Now, you may agree with some of the selections and or decisions he makes or disagree, but I don't think anyone, especially after this move, can say that Brian Gutekunst, A, doesn't want to win, and B, won't do everything in his power to try and make it happen. Brandy, thanks for the super chat. I like to think of all the different player combos that Parsons allows us to bring, dictate what is going to transpire on any given down. Lovely. That's a really good way to look at it. And that's what I talk about when I say it affects everything on the defensive side of the ball. You're never having to rush more than four if you really don't want to. It's another world as a defensive play caller. And that doesn't mean you're never going to blitz or you're never going to send pressure. You're never going to run sim pressures like they did at times last year. But those are now options rather than necessities. And you can do so dependent on the opponent you're facing and what kind of offense they run and what ways you think you can best take advantage of them rather than desperately having to try and gin up pressure because you can't get home with your four. It's just another world. It's another zip code. It's another tax bracket, whatever you want to call it. You're in a different life right now on the Packers defense. Brockman, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Who is the vet now in the defensive line room? Does Parsons step into that role, or do you see another long-term Packer taking that spot? It's a good question. Clearly, I think most guys will maybe not defer to him, but certainly he will take on a leadership role as a guy who has been a three-time All-Pro, certainly just been acquired for a boatload of assets and a monster contract. I think some of that will certainly, you know, garner a little respect in the locker room. But, you know, some of these young guys who have been young, but maybe entering, you know, their second or third year, Colby Woodens, the guys along the defensive front like Devontae Wyatt, you know, they can step into that in one way or another. But I do think it's going to be interesting to see who is more of a vocal leader and who is more of a leader by example. And every guy is a little bit different, right? We'll see how it shakes out. Evil Badger, what's up, man? Sorry, Nagler, I'll miss the watch party because I'll be in Lambeau on Sunday. Ryan Willey, you're number one. Hey, man, have a great time. Here's hoping that that place is rocking. The Packers can actually score in the first half, something they've had trouble doing against the Lions the last couple times they come to Lambeau. But, man, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time. Bill, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Run defense. What's the plan? Concerns? I was talking about this a little bit on Twitter this morning. Certainly, you've got a couple of things that you're working to try and replace and or maybe not one for one, but in the aggregate, it's not just, okay, yes, Kenny Clark is now gone with this trade, but also, you know, TJ Slayton was lost in free agency, and he was a pretty significant component, especially on early downs when it came to stopping the run. But I do think, you know, it's not like Wyatt's a slouch in that regard. Nazir Stackhouse is there most likely for this very reason, as far as even before this trade happened, the loss of Slayton, you need another big body defensive tackle. He certainly fits that bill. I think Colby Wooden will be playing a ton of nose tackle on early downs. We'll see if he can hold up. Certainly, you'll have a rotation, younger guys like Brinson, etc. There's no one that is going to come in and fix it on their own, right? But I don't doubt that, it doesn't change the idea that you've got to earn the right to rush the passer, as they used to say, or they do say as coaches. You know, you got to eat your vegetables, and that means stopping the run. On your way, hopefully, to getting to the quarterback, but first and foremost, you got to stop the run, and that's across the line. That's not just the interior guys. That's guys on the edge, and that includes Micah Parsons, who, and I think I said this earlier, but man, if you're listening to someone who talks about Micah Parsons being a bad run defender, you can just ignore that person when it comes to football for the rest of your life, because that's absurd. And the film completely backs up how absurd that is. Packer Aggie, thanks for the super chat. Appreciate you. This is a good question. Which end, if any, has the ability to shift inside on passing downs aside from one? We've seen Rashawn Gary do it from time to time. Well, we saw it last year, a handful of times, especially towards the end of the season. But this summer, they were putting Lucas Van Ness inside a couple of times. You know, let's see if they actually trust him enough to do it in an actual game and games that matter. But I do think, you know, that's something he did when he was at Iowa. He played along the interior at times, and maybe entering year three, they're ready to see if he can do it in the NFL. I do think that's a possibility. I don't know if I'd ever see that on a rundown, but I do think you'd see, you know, LVN kicked inside on potential like third and long, a spot where the D-line can pin their ears back and get upfield and create havoc. I think they would trust him to do that. What else we got here, folks? Twitch loves you, Nags. Cheer 500. Well, you know what? I love you. Thanks. You know, I don't have a huge following or viewership on Twitch, but I keep going live on Twitch because I know there are a few audience members there, and I appreciate you guys. Hopefully, I'll get back to some Madden content this season. First up, I got to talk to somebody at EA about the running game in this year's Madden because it is god-awful. I'm going to just take a second here. Yesterday, I'm playing, right? And this dude online, which is his prerogative, like this is, if this worked, I would do it too, you know, for the Packers, because it doesn't, because the Packers defensive linemen aren't as highly rated. But this dude was playing with the Eagles. Well, of course, well, I'm playing with the Super Bowl champs, so I get the highest rated team. Okay, that's your prerogative. Great. But he's running three down linemen on every single down, and then two high safeties and man coverage across the board on every single play. So now you're like, as an offensive play caller, you think, well, of course, I'll just run them out of this. Dude, I've got safeties crashing down and taking on blocks from Zach Tom and shedding Zach Tom and making the tackle of Josh Jacobs, by the way, who would bowl this guy over and did, by the way, in real life in the playoff game several times. But no, on Madden, it's, oh, you're trying to run with a three-man line. It's second and 10. You're trying to get some... And look, you've got 1 yard because some safety shed not just a Zach Tom tackle, but then later he sheds an Elgton Jenkins tackle. Come on, EA. The running game was so good last year, and it is hot garbage this season. Garbage. It's like they want you to play video game football rather than actually try to do what they say. It's in the game. No. Safety shedding Elgton Jenkins is not in the game. Okay, just needed to get that off my chest because, God, it was bugging the shit out of me. Mike Witt, what's going on, man? Everyone talking about the Reggie comparison, but I see Micah as a lot better version of Za'Darius Smith his first year, the way he can play up and down the line. Thoughts? I think he's way more athletic slash got a bunch more twitch and ability to get skinny, whereas Z was very much a physical guy, much more of a power rusher. But I hear what you're saying as far as his ability to move up and down the line of scrimmage like Z did. They certainly kicked Z inside right from the jump, right? Especially on passing downs. Reggie was very much a creature of the edge, right? He was an end and pretty much not 100%, but mostly played out on the defensive end, right? So I hear what you're saying as far as his versatility is certainly a little different. But his productivity, I mean, he's what? He's got that sharing that record with Reggie in his first 4 years as far as number of sacks. So I get the comparison. Yeah. at least when it comes to the numbers. Andrew, how you doing, man? Thanks for the super chat. Before the trade went down, I'm pretty sure they had to check in with the pro shop if they could keep up with the custom jersey orders. LOL, GPG. I can only fathom what life is like in the pro shop since this trade. Godspeed, my friend. Portmaster, how you doing? Thanks for the super chat. It's fun how far we've come. Micah having a podcast is considered a distraction, but Michael Irvin doing blow in the 90s wasn't. Neat. I mean, that is certainly one way to look at it, Portmaster. God bless you. Mike Witt, thanks again, man. I know I've been busy this summer, but am I still in the top three for Eeyores? Everyone talking about Micah, but I'm really looking forward to that first play of the game, bomb to Golden for a TD. It's funny you mention that because I did see that Golden was listed as a starting wide receiver opposite Romeo Doubs on the unofficial depth chart that they released today. And it did, my mind immediately went there. Like, opening play, bomb to Golden, right? I have to think. There is no way. Especially after the Packers started the way they did 2 years ago on Thanksgiving with the bomb to Watson. And then they tried something deep again on the first play last year in Detroit. And they got a, you know, got sacked by Zadarius. I got to suspect Matt buttons it up this time. As tempting as it would be to go deep to Golden, mostly I would think, yeah, they're probably expecting that. They're going to have two deep safeties on the first snap. I would be shocked if they didn't. But we'll see. We shall see. All right, buddy, I'm going to have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.